Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for the great, amazing love that you have given us. We just thank you for everything that you have blessed us with, and thank you for letting us bless others. We praise you today that you will speak through us and to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen.
I'm going to be in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. So get your Bible and follow along with me. John, chapter 14, verse 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Jesus saith unto him, that's Thomas, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of many ways. He is the only way. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. That's through the blood of Jesus. That is through the death, burial, and the bodily resurrection of Jesus. He said, not only am I the way, he said, the truth. There's only one truth, and that is Jesus. That is the Word of God. The 66 books of the Bible is the truth. And the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, that's God the Father, but by me. The only way to God the Father is through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Every mankind has a choice to either receive Jesus or to reject Jesus, to receive the plan of salvation or reject the plan of salvation, to go to heaven or spend eternity in the lake of fire. Jesus said here, because straight is the gate. And Jesus said, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Now, John chapter 10, verse 1, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Christ is the door and the good shepherd. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door, Jesus is the door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The only way to heaven is through Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 7 said, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door. John chapter 10, verse 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Not only is Jesus the way, but he's also the door. Again, let's read John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is also the way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. It says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Jesus is that way out of escape from temptation. Jesus is the way into the holiness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 8 through 15, I'll just read this. He said, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest is of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, taming to the conscience. which stood only in meats and drink and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hand, this is to say, not of this building. Now notice this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. We have eternal life. We have eternal redemption because of the blood of Jesus. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, notice this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. He says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, offered himself, that is Jesus, offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Our conscience could be purged by the blood of Jesus. Verse 15 says, and of this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the first testament, that which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And in chapter 10, verses 19-23, he said, we must hold fast to faith, having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to God the Father, boldly because of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Christ is the way into the holiest. He is the new and the living way. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 said, by a new and living way, notice that word, way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He is the new and the living way. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 said, and being made perfect, Jesus is perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation. Jesus is the way and truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. This is in the last days. People, well, they'll say the way of truth will be evil spoken of. They won't accept the word of God. The Bible says in the last days that people will turn their ears from the truth, and they will get teachers to tell them what they want to hear. And they'll say there's many ways, but there's only one way to Jesus, or to God the Father, and that's through Jesus. Jesus is the right way. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jesus is the way of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, and after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. If they've been born again, they backslide, it's better for them if they've never known the way of truth. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, but of him are we in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Well, Jesus is the only way to God. He's the way of escape. He's the way into the holiest. He is the new and living way. He is the way of truth. He's the right way and the way of righteousness. Well, you heard the gospel today, and all you got to do is act upon it, and you'll receive the benefits of it. Well, I'm done. I want to turn it back over to my brother.
Praise God. Good message. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. May we get that really clear. Thank you.
Wonderful to be here, and it's wonderful to have God woke me up this morning. So it made a good day today, because I had a choice of what I would do today. And you know, tomorrow he might not wake me up, so we don't want to be taking him for granted. You know, we need to be worshiping him all the time. The Bible says that he's worthy to be praised, and that's every minute. Tonight, I want to do chapter 17. And chapter 17 is Luke chapter 17. And, excuse me. And it goes Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. In other words, when we are doing our things and making it hard and being ugly to other people, we have no earthly idea what we're doing. Really, we are just digging a hole ourselves, because whatever we do, that's what we're going to reap. You know, and verse 2 says, it was better for them that a millstone were hung around their neck and cast into the sea than that he should offend one of God's little ones. And he's not just talking about the children, but he's talking about his sheep, the ones that he died, the ones that have invited him into their hearts. It's a dangerous thing. You know, if you want to play games, you ought to have your marble game or something. You don't need to be playing with God. Because believe it or not, sooner or later, before you leave this earth, you're going to see it again, and you're going to reap it, and you're going to know what you're looking at. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And verse 4, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. In other words, we don't want to be walking around holding grudges and talking about people and, I mean, killing them with our tongue and you know, spiteful things and making other people look funny at people they don't even know why. We don't want to do all that. All that should be in the past. Simply because Jesus died for them, the person, at the very same time he died for me, he died for them too. So why are we holding them guilty when God's already forgiven them if they want to accept it? And this I have learned from W.L., and I tell you what, it has made an awesome difference in my life and the way I think. It's just like part of the burden left. In other words, the door, the cage, the door come open and I come out is what it was like. Because as long as you have unforgiveness and every time you see somebody, you got some ugly to say that it was 40 years ago. And you're talking about something that was dead then and still dead, and that was 50 years ago, same thing, you go back to that. And even today, when you meet somebody and you ask them how they are, 9 out of those 10 people are going to come out with something negative first instead of something positive. So we need to be watching our mouth, what we think and what we say. Because whatever we put out there is what we're going to stumble over. And if we trespass against thee 7 times in a day and 7 times a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. In other words, don't hold grudges. Because how is God going to forgive me if I don't forgive you? The apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. In other words, how are you going to have faith? You don't have any faith if you're walking around here full of unforgiveness. How is faith going to work or operate when you don't have any faith? And the Lord said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. Why? Because the word of God is stronger than anything on this earth. Jesus paid the cost for the power. He paid the cost for the salvation. We can't save ourselves, so we always going around trying to do what only God can do, which means we're not going to do anything. So why not do what we can do, which is watch our mouth, keep it shut if it's not going to be something kind or uplifting to somebody. And, you know, when you practice these things and it's in your heart for it to change, you catch yourself starting a conversation and you'll change it right in the middle of a sentence. And you don't have to do it too many times before you can catch it without even doing it. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drinken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. A servant serves the people, not the people serving you. You're a servant. You're a helping hand. God, Jesus said he's whatever you need. Sometimes it's a word. Sometimes it's a word of God. The word of God. It's an encouragement. So that's all a person needs sometimes to get over a rough spot or a dry place. So why wouldn't we open our mouth and lift up Jesus? Why wouldn't we open our mouth and tell the people about Jesus to give them a chance to come out of the place where they were born in, which is sin? We didn't know nothing about Jesus till he came into our lives. Oh, we loved one another. Sleeping with one another was about basically all we thought about. And love is not sleeping with somebody. Love is caring about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity and what they're going to eat and wear, what you can do to help them to make things better for them and be a guide for them like somebody was a guide for you, or praying for them like somebody prayed for me. Somebody had to pray for me. They did pray for me, and thank God he heard them. Do it. He thanked that servant because he did the things that were commanded him. I thought not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded ye, ye are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Well, our duty is we got to uplift the Lord. We got to study to show ourselves approved. And we gotta walk the talk as well as talk the talk. And you can talk all day, but faith without work is dead. And you're gonna have to stay on the move. You're gonna have to, and to keep up with God's grace and His mercy, you're really gonna be on the move because you don't know which way He's going. So you gotta be attentive. Don't you miss it. And verse 11, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Master Jesus, have mercy on us. How many times a day do you say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me? Forgive me for my sins. And verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. When we are obedient to the word of God, and when we obey his voice, when we obey, we know. You may not know what it's about, but you'll know what to do and what not to do. But you can't do what you want to do about it. You have to do what the Lord wants done. And verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, where there Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? How many times has God kept us all these years? All these days, nights and days, he's kept us and he's brought us. And he's kept us from things that would have killed us that we never heard of or will never know about, much less the things we do know about. We're not even grateful enough to thank him. We're not even grateful enough to want Christ in our lives. We're just interested in doing our thing. Well, I can tell you right now, your thing is going to get you burned up in that's where you headed to. Your thing is not going to get you in glory. Jesus is the one who paid the cost on the cross. He's the one who shed his blood. There is no other power to get you into glory. So how you going to rob or steal to get that? No, and you can't purchase it. You can't buy it. It's a gift. So you haven't done anything, and the Bible says that God will bless the works of your hand. Well, if you haven't done anything, what's he going to bless? We're talking about work. We're talking about helping other people, being kind to people, and being honest about what we're doing, not two or three faces, and not keeping trouble amongst the brethren and gossip and hearsays. Those things that God is not pleased with. There are not found that return. There are not found that return to give him to God, save this stranger. Only one man come back to thank God for cleansing him. And he said unto him, arise, go that way, thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith is the only thing that God moves on, is your faith. And if you don't have faith, when you have faith, then there's not room nor time, because faith means work. Faith means labor. Faith means being all kind of offenses and all kind of problems and all kind of trouble. Well, why are there all these troubles and all these obstacles? Because God wants you to trust him. And if there were not, you'd soon forget him, take him for granted. But God knows, praise God, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to save you and he knows how to keep us. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. In other words, you're not going to be able to see when the kingdom of God comes. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom, the grace of God, the word of God. Jesus himself died to be within you. We're talking about the part of you that's going to spend eternity somewhere is within you. This old body is going out of here. It's earthly. It's going back to the dirt. The things that we see and touch, they're earthly. And the Bible says the only thing that's going to be left here is the word of God. So we need to learn to love the Lord and love ourselves. And when we let Christ in our life, then is when we learn about love. In verse 22, and he said unto the disciples, the day will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and she shall not see it. In other words, there's going to come a time when people want to know and hear about the Son of God. Ain't going to be nobody here to tell them. Ain't going to be nobody here knows nothing about Jesus. So that's the reason why it's important to teach your children so they'll know how to teach their children. It's important Although people will say you mean, your own children will say you mean when you don't go along with the world. But you have to teach, your duty to teach them the word of God and to teach them right from wrong, because if you don't teach them, how are they going to know? You, that's your responsibility as a parent. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as a lightning that lighteth out of one part unto heaven, shineth unto the other part unto heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must be suffering many things and be rejected of the generation. In other words, the trouble. Because why? We have not got sense enough to move. We have not got sense enough to want Jesus. But I'll tell you what, he'll make it so uncomfortable, you'll be too glad if you got life left. You'll be too glad to move. You'll be too glad to obey. And it shall be in the day of Noah, and it shall be also in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. They were out there having a good time. And I want somebody to tell me that they're not out there having a good time right now. They're not thinking about Jesus. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. But I'll tell you one thing. You better be wanting to know about Jesus, because hell is a long time. And who would want to stay out here on this earth and then not wake up in glory? Likewise also was it in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Well, he said he wasn't. He destroyed the earth one time with water. He not next time it's going to be by fire. People don't believe it. They don't believe it. But when Christ comes into their life, they'll begin to understand that he does believe, does know what he's talking about, and you better be trying to find to do something to save yourself. You can't save yourself, so you better be finding the one who can, who's already paid the cost where everything is already done. Even thus shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be up on the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. In other words, when Jesus comes after you, you're gone. It's too late to say, I don't want to go, I'm not ready, come later. That's not so. You're going just as you are. Remember Lot's wife? Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. When you lose this earthly life that we know, and we take on the word of God to be obedient to God's word, this is how we are preserved by the word of God, by God's awesome grace and mercy. His power is what is the saving grace. And I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other one left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, heaven will the eagles be gathering together. In other words, wherever you fall, the eagles will come to destroy the body, because that's where you're going to be laying. And if somebody don't bury you, you'll just be laying there. Well, we knew all that. It's not a pleasant thing to think about. And that part of death is not a thing, nothing pleasant about it. But we know that it's going to come. So why not prepare yourself to meet with Christ, to thank him for his salvation, to thank him for his love, and thank the Lord for sending us his Jesus, his Savior. And it's in his name that he gives us the strength to do that which he wants us to be, which is obedient and to his word. And love the Lord. Lord, tonight we love you. And whoever's out there listening that know you need the Lord, give him a try. And you'll find out that things are better with Jesus than without him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. We need the Lord at all times. He will forever be blessing us. We thank God for that. Thank God for that message right there. Praise God. Praise God for those messages tonight. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I was teaching in prison on Saturday, and this man said he was, you know, looking for a good woman, good wife when he gets out. And he said he met a woman. And she told him she want a man that she can obey. It took me a while to process that. In other words, she said, I want a man who will sell out to God. I want a man who loves God, who will be a man of God, so I can follow the principles of God and submit unto that man. I thought that was really interesting. And I was teaching in another prison on yesterday, and I asked that question, could a woman submit to you and not be degraded, not be hurt? Can you lead her in the things of God? Or will she end up doing the things of the world because of you? Those are things we need to realize. We are the salt of the earth. Jesus says here, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. That's out of Matthew's, the 5th chapter, 13 through 16. We are the salt of the earth. The world is not the salt of the earth. We are. We keep trying to make the world accountable for what they do. That's kind of like going out to the graveyard and telling those people in the graveyard, you need to get up and do better. Well, the people in the world are dead to God. They are dead to righteousness. There are a lot of good people who do good things. They don't do anything. They don't kill anybody. They're honest. They tell the truth. But they don't know Jesus Christ. They are still dead because they believe that their works, their goodness is going to be all right in the end. You know, what a great surprise that many people would get when they get before God and he said, depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know you. Then we would say, oh, but I went to church every Sunday. I sung in the choir. I preached in the pulpit. I taught Sunday school. I did all these good works. I fed the poor. I visited the sick. I was good in my community. And then he will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. I think that would be a sad, sad commentary. I don't know you. Even though you've done all these good works, I don't know you. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it profit me nothing. In other words, just like tingling cymbals, I mean, noise, just like noise. Love is God. When we don't have God, everything we do is for nothing. It don't amount to anything. Sometimes we say, well, I'm living the American dream. Well, the American dream is not God's purpose and God's plan for us. The American dream may be, I get me a house, get me a couple of cars, and I'll live happily ever after. Well, you got to die. You need Jesus Christ in your life, whether you ever buy a house or not, whether you ever drive a car or not, whether you ever wear fine clothes or not, or fine jewelry. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got eternal life. You've got more than the world has right now. You own more than the world owns when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you say, Jesus, you are truly Lord. And I believe that God the Father raised you from the dead. That's good news. And we need to realize how wonderful that is. You know, you can think about something good times 1,000, times 1,000,000, and you would never know how good it is to be with the Lord. Even down here on earth, you wouldn't even know how I'd feel to be with the Lord down here on earth. Jesus said, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, just having the peace and joy and the assurance of eternal life with God, that is peace. That is joy unspeakable. And I pray that you will know God the Father through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. I pray that you will come when he calls you. The Bible said, Jesus said in John 6:44, no one will come to me except the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last days. God is speaking to your heart right now. He wants you to be saved. He's drawing you to Jesus Christ. If you turn this program on and you just flip it around and you heard that gospel of Jesus Christ, that was for you to say, yes, Lord, I will receive you. And that confession will bring you eternal life. You will have as much of God and assurance of God as the people who have been in the church for a number of years. Now, you need to grow. You need to be discipled. Amen. Hopefully, the church will come and get you. But if they don't, you go in fellowship with other believers. Get in a place where you can learn your position in God. And then you will learn your possessions in him. I want you to know I love you. I care about you. I want you to go to heaven. I don't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. Hell is too hot, and it's too long. It is not a two-week vacation. It's throughout eternity. And as I pray for you, I'm going to ask that God will deal with your heart, that you won't rest, you won't be at ease until you say, yes, Lord, I want Jesus. Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to preach your word. And I pray that all of the messages that have been preached tonight about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And I pray that you will touch the lives that are listening tonight, Lord, that not one person will die and go to hell, Father, but come to a saving knowledge in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for everything that you have done for us. Touch us, Lord, that we might touch the whole world. I want to touch the world, Lord, with your amazing love. Your amazing love that set me free. Your amazing love that nailed Jesus to the cross. Your amazing love that resurrected him from the dead and freed us forever. Thank you, Father, for everything that you've done for us. And we glorify you. We magnify you. We know that you're the God of our lives, and you're the one we love. Thank you in the name of Jesus.
We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus. We shall glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings.
Brother Shannon, for being on the program tonight. May God richly bless you. Good night.
Good night.
You have a glorious weekend.
We
a glorious share. Today.
Yes.
A glorious today. We'll take this day first, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, we won't even think about this weekend. We'll take today.
That's
God bless
right.
you. See you next Monday, Lord. Say the same.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.